welcome to our last week in a series of talks that we are doing on Deepak Chopra's Seven Spiritual Laws of Success and how those ideas out of his book overlap with the teachings of Science of Mind or the teachings of Centers for Spiritual Living. And so today we are looking at two of the laws that he talks about, which are the law of least effort and the law of detachment. And so he speaks of that. Tell you what he says. He says, the fourth spiritual law of success is the law of least effort. This law is based on the fact that nature's intelligence functions with effortless ease and abandon carefreeness. This is the principle of least action and no resistance. When we learn this lesson from nature, we easily fulfill our desires. And so he's talking about that law of least effort. And we see that when we look around, that intelligence that effortlessly expresses itself when you see a crack in the sidewalk and a weed coming up out of that crack and producing a flower, which from that flower produces seeds and it reaches towards the sun and flourishes just from that little crack. We see that intelligence effortlessly expressing itself when we see birds migrating. They don't have to figure out what the route is to take or where it is they should go. It's already built into them so that migration happens with ease because it's the intelligence of the universe expressing within them. We see it in a mother cat and kittens. Those kittens already know how to nurse, and that mother cat already knows how to take care of them and how to nurse them from herself. We see it in streams flowing to the ocean, which then evaporates and turns into clouds, which turns into rain, which creates more streams and back into the ocean again. That's the effortless ease of the intelligence of the universe and how it expresses itself. Well, that same intelligence, that same harmony, that same order fills our lives because it's everywhere present. So it's always where we are in every single situation. It's the activity of life, the activity of that universal intelligence. It's divine mind expressing itself here on planet Earth. And so when we know that that intelligence is present, when we know that that mind is unfolding itself in our lives and that order and harmony is present, when we know that and we lean into it, what happens is we allow it to flow in our lives in a whole new way. We create within ourselves an opening and become a conduit through which that good and that order and that harmony can unfold itself in our lives. And so Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, says, for while it is true that we are immersed in an infinite intelligence, a mind that knows all things, it is also true that this intelligence can acquaint us with its ideas only as we are able and willing to receive them. The divine mind is infinite. It contains all knowledge and wisdom, but before it can reveal its secrets, it must have an outlet. This outlet we shall be compelled to supply through our own receptive mentalities. So we must be receptive to that divine mind in order to receive its influx, in order to receive its creativity, its divine ideas. And so one of the ways that we become receptive to that infinite mind, to what what Deepak Chopra calls the field of pure potentiality, is by trusting that it is present, by trusting that it's already right where we are, by trusting and knowing, in the words of Christie, that we are companioned by it at all times, by knowing and trusting that life is good for us, and that life is good, and that good is seeking to unfold itself. That's one of the ways we create the trestles for the bridge of getting from where we are to fulfilling our desires. The problem is, though, is that so often we get into fear. We get into fear that it won't work out, whatever it is, the thing that we want, that the good that we want won't come to fruition, or that things just won't turn out good. And then we get stuck in that fear. And then as a result of that fear, what happens is we get attached to things unfolding in this exact particular way that we outlined thinking they should, because we don't trust that that intelligence is unfolding. We don't trust that that order and harmony is unfolding as our lives, so we get really attached to it turning out a certain way. And then we hold tightly, and then we can try to control things, and we try to manipulate things in order to get things to turn out the way that we think they should. But you know what? All of that comes out of fear. Fear that life isn't good. Fear that the order of the universe isn't unfolding in our lives. And in that fear, and in that controlling of things and people and situations, what happens is we close ourselves off to the myriad of possibilities that could be coming into our life. In our fear, we close ourselves off from other options. We close ourselves off from that infinite intelligence of the universe that is present, because we think that we already know the answer and it has to be this particular way. But you know what? That intelligence, that infinite mind, has bigger and greater ideas than we can understand from our limited human perspective of wherever it is that we are in our lives at that moment. And so Deepak Chopra says in here, attachment, being attached to how we think things have to look, attachment is based on fear and insecurity. And the need for security is based on not knowing the true self. Self with a capital S. The fear is based on not knowing that we are one with the divine. It's based in not knowing that the life of God is the life that we are living. It is based on not knowing that we are part of that one, and that we are heir to the kingdom of the infinite. Not knowing or thinking that life is for us. Not knowing that life is for us. That's what that fear gets based on. But you know what? We already live in the kingdom. We are already heirs to all the good in the universe, because that's what we live in already. We live in that one presence and that one principle of infinite potentiality and of absolute creativity because we are part of that. And life is always for you because life is for itself. Life is for its fullest expression, and your life is part of the fullness of that expression. And so the more fulfilled you are, the more satisfied you are, the more full your life feels, the more spirit is expressing in your life and is able to express in your life. And so the thing is, what we really want is not necessarily that particular thing that we have put in this little box. What we really want is to feel like we are in the flow of life. What we really want is to live a life that is filled with good. What we really want is to feel at peace and to have a sense of ease and to have a sense of flow in our lives, to be in harmony and to live with joy. Not necessarily the exact thing that we have outlined that we think has to show up in a particular way that we get attached to. And so some years ago, I used to work the phone lines downtown LA working Ministry of Prayer. And so people would call in with prayer requests, and I would do affirmative prayer, spiritual mind treatment with them on the phone. And one day, this woman called in the afternoon and told me this guy, John, that she works with was coming over to her house that night. And she wanted me to pray, treat for John, to ask her to marry him. I could not do that. That's like manipulating the universe. I could certainly pray for her to have a fabulous relationship. I could certainly treat for her to be in the experience of love, to love and to be loved. But I couldn't outline that John was going to be the one that asked her. Because you know what? The truth is, what she really wanted was to have a good relationship. What she really wanted was to love and to be loved. What she really wanted was companionship and someone to share her life with. What she really wanted was to feel valuable and important. What she really wanted, perhaps, was someone to travel with and to laugh with and to have a good time with. And she wanted that all wrapped up in one person. But that person may not have been John. He might have not have been that perfect match for her. But we get stuck in that, thinking that we know exactly what this thing needs to look like that we want in our life. Which brings us to Deepak Chopra's next idea, which is the law of detachment. And so he speaks of that, and he says, the sixth spiritual law of success is the law of detachment. The law of detachment says that in order to acquire anything in the physical universe, you have to relinquish your attachment to it. This doesn't mean you give up the intention to create your desire. You don't give up the intention and you don't give up the desire. You give up your attachment to the result. You give up your attachment to it having to show up in a particular way. We call that outlining. You don't outline what it has to look like. You just set your intention of what you want to experience, what you want to have, how it's going to make you feel, what is going to be the result of having that particular thing. So you get clear about what it is that you want and why it is that you want it. What am I going to experience because I have this thing in my life? So say you want a new car. What is going to be my experience because I have a new car? You know, it's going to be really easy for me to get the kids to soccer practice. And if I get a big car, it's going to be really easy to be able to take their friends with them wherever we go. If I get that new car, I'm going to be able to travel to work without having to have any concern about the car not making it. I'm going to feel, as a result of those things, secure and relaxed. That's really what you want. It doesn't have to show up as the particular type of car that you think you need. It's meeting those inner needs. That's what our intention's about. And so what you do then is you see in your mind's eye what it is that you want. You get clear on your intention and see it. And then you feel within yourself what it's going to feel like when you have that thing. That's what the law responds to and brings to us. And then you let go of your attachment to it having to show up in a certain way. And so most of you know Marisha that comes to church here. In fact, she's not here today. She's off celebrating her 40th birthday. But she got custody of her two nieces recently. And she's been driving a little red two-door sporty kind of car that's sexy and really cute. You know what? Those girls don't fit in that car very well in their car seats. She's been trying to get those car seats in that back seat and get the girls, one who's baby who's 8 months old now, in that car seat through the two-door car and not enough room for their stuff in the trunk. And so she decided she really needs a new car. And so she set that intention to have a new car. And she sat down and wrote a list out of all the things that she wanted in that car. That she wanted a car that is secure and a car that is dependable and a car that has four doors so she can put those baby seats in the back seat. And a car that has a bunch of storage so she can haul all their stuff. A car that's big enough when their friends want to start coming along that they will be able to have room to fit in the car. And air conditioning and something that's comfortable. So she decided and wrote down all those qualities that she wanted so she could be actively involved in putting her energy into it and her focus into it and putting it out there in the universe. And then she doesn't know how this is going to show up. She doesn't have the money for a car, but this is certainly what she wants and what she needs. And so she said then she spent some time online, what the heck, looking at cars. Let's see what's out there. Let's just be involved in this. Without attachment to how it showed up. And you know what? A check showed up in the mail for the exact amount of money that she needed to get the car. And she is now driving the most beautiful Buick Enclave that is this big SUV with room for everything, and it's beautiful. And it just showed up because she set the intention and put her energy and her focus and feeling into what is this going to feel like and be like this so that the law could respond and bring it to her. So that's how it happens. We let go of the attachment to it showing up in a certain way. And so I love this. My favorite idea out of this chapter was Deepak talking about living in the uncertainty, living in the unknown. That's the field between getting clear about our desire and then having it manifest in our lives. And so he talks about that and says that it's in that uncertainty, in that unknown, that the infinite potential exists in. Because like I've said, when we outline, we've closed ourselves off to all these other possibilities. It's in the uncertainty, that's where the field of all possibilities lives. That's where the magic lies of the universe conspiring to bring our good to us in a way that we never could have imagined. But it takes our willingness to step into the uncertainty. I just also started taking a class on heart-centered teaching that is being taught by my favorite ministerial teacher. And it's so fascinating. It just so happens at the same time. That is exactly what she's talking about also, is getting prepared in your lesson for class, but then not being attached to that outline, but living in the uncertainty and tapping into the wisdom of the class and allowing that to come forward. And it's been really amazing in doing that because, especially in my early years of teaching, I was so attached to the curriculum, and we have 10 minutes to do this thing, and 7 minutes to do the next thing, and 12 minutes to do the next thing, and we have to stay on task, or we're not going to get everything done. Well, 2 classes ago, we never got on the curriculum because the stuff that came up needed to be talked about and hashed out and figured out. That's living in the uncertainty and the openness to something else presenting itself, which just so happened to be what everybody needed. So when we step into the uncertainty, it opens us up to other possibilities and creative solutions and ideas to come forward. And so in Spiritual Economics, one of my all-time favorite books, Eric Butterworth says, there are 2 basic drives within every person, human and divine. Humanly, we seek to settle down, to be safe, to build fences, to be secure. Divinely, we are created to express, to grow, and to extend our horizons. If we had not risen above the human inclination to be safe at all costs, we would still be living in caves. If indeed the human race would still be living at all. In the early days of life on Earth, Homo sapiens were surrounded by great beasts with superb built-in defenses, tusks, hides, claws, wings, shells, and tremendous brute strength. The human creatures, seemingly so inadequate, so helpless, survived because their defense was in their creative ability, in the intuitive flow of ideas, in their spiritual dimension. No matter how primitive it's showing. If humankind had always tried to simply be safe at all costs, there would have been no Moses leaving the comfort of Egypt to lead his people through the vast wilderness and into their promised land. There would have been no Columbus braving uncharted seas to discover a new world. When people think of only being safe, they stifle the urges of personal growth and advancement. When we get stuck of thinking something has to show up in a particular way, we are trying to be safe. We are trying to be secure. We are trying to control and hold on. But there's no growth in that. There's no evolution in that. That's just a repeat of our past, that which we've already experienced and that which we already know showing up again and again. But that's just a repetition of the past. That's nothing new. And we are here to grow and to unfold and to discover our magnificence and to live a love-filled, joy-filled, fulfilling and thriving life. That's what we're here for. And you know what? It takes stepping into uncertainty and trusting in order to bring that life forward. When we trust life, when we are willing to step into that uncertainty, when we're allowing it to unfold its amazing wisdom in our life, then, in turn, we experience something greater than we could have imagined, something greater than we could have designed from our limited human thinking. We open ourselves to that when we're willing to step into the unknown, when we're willing to trust that things are coming to us and things are unfolding, that our desires are leading us into a better life. And so my invitation to you this week is to set your intention. Get clear about what it is that you want in your life. And then detach from it having to look a specific way. Detach from that outcome while still holding that clear intention of what you want and what it's going to look like and what it's going to feel like and what your inner experience is going to be because of it. And then trust that the universe is bringing it to you. Trust that it's unfolding. Trust that it's happening while you're willing to stand in the uncertainty. And then await fantastic results with expectancy that that's exactly what's going to happen. Then you'll be living with ease. Then you'll be living with peace, even when it hasn't unfolded itself yet. Then you'll be manifesting your greatest dreams and your desires concretely in your life. And so blessings to all of you on this path of discovery and unfolding and creating your best life yet. Blessings to you. You want to come pray with me?
Sure.
And so I invite you to join us in a spiritual mind treatment, our form of affirmative prayer. And so how good it is to be called to and answer this call of communion, this call to once again turn within and recognize this presence of that infinite one that is right here where we stand, that presence of love and of wisdom and of light and of good and of intelligence and of majestic, fabulous life. And so I know that we are always standing in that presence, for we live and move and have our being within this one. For there is only one life. There is only one power. There is only one presence and one beingness, and it is here within us and around us. For I know that we are incarnations of that presence here on earth as human beings, spiritual, divine and human all at the same time. And so I recognize that today we walk in this presence and that it goes before us and makes the way open and plain and smooth. I know that those desires of our heart are that presence calling us by name to step into our greater yet to be, to step into our greatest life, to grow wings and to unfold ourselves and to discover who we really are, that infinite good that is present, to understand and get our boundlessness, our infinite potential. And so today, that is what we are doing. We are stepping into that truth in a whole new way. And so I know that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and that is unfolding in our lives right now. Ask and you shall receive. And so we ask in faith and in confidence and in trust, and we step into the unknown, awaiting, and that good unfolds in our lives. And so I'm so grateful to be in recognition of this and in acceptance of this. And so I speak this word also knowing that not only is this the truth about us, but that this is true for every single person in this universe. That God is unfolding itself through each one of us as the evolution of humanity, as a world that works for everyone, as good and greater good and blessings all over the place. And so that presence right now is speaking in every heart and in every mind and in every home, of glory and grace and good. And so I give thanks for this truth, and I pass this prayer.
And so we give thanks together for this experience of spiritual community. Knowing that as we come together in that idea that we are indeed living ourselves as God's greatest gift to itself. And so from that realization, we go forward in this day knowing indeed that we truly are blessed and the blessing, and that both are equally magnified as we open ourselves in trust and faith to that knowingness that the goodness of God absolutely moves through us at the very level that we are courageously willing to say yes to it as us. So as we go out into the world today and in all that it presents to us, we put aside our judgment of good or bad and simply show up as truth, knowing that we are it, knowing that there is an infinite source and supply of love and light waiting for us to open ourselves to a greater expression of it. That is our call. And so we give thanks this morning for Reverend Jennifer and her inspiration in turning that light up within us. We give thanks this morning for Denise and the way that she brings God to life unlike any other, so that we may know it as ourselves at a deeper level. And we get thanks for this idea of spiritual community as living beyond limits, knowing that we are indeed limitless in our expression of God as us. And so with that, we know that this day is already good and very good because we have heard the call and said yes together. And so with that, we give thanks, we let it be, we accept the blessings as of, and we know that they are indeed done. And so it is. Amen.
Thank you.